This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers, originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, for many, many years under the leadership of Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. But after the storm, we've moved our whole operation to the Baton Rouge area. We're in the process of getting together funds to build a new building, a new chapel, and where we can be a little more convenient. But we're bringing you God's message time after time. We're operating seemingly out of a shoebox, but everything's going on. The messages are going out. The broadcasts are going out. The services are being held. The bookstore is open now. And all of those things, the Lord has given us grace to come forth day by day, day by day, and that's what we're doing. So I want you to stay with us, if you will. We've been bringing you these studies on the book of Revelation. The next message or two will be our last on these studies. But we come now to the epilogue, the final analysis, if you will, the close of this most wonderful, gracious book called Revelation. Our last study brought us to the point where everything enters upon that eternal state. The book of Revelation opened with the church age, which is a period from the days of the apostles to the time when Christ comes in midair for his people. This covered the first three chapters of this book. The fourth chapter opened with the rapture at the beginning of the tribulation period. Then from the fourth chapter on, we saw the tribulation period from the breaking of the seals through the sounding of the trumpets and the pouring out of the vials of wrath. And in many, many, many varying scenes. First, from the standpoint of the saints. Then, in regard to sinners living first from and living in the, and then the dead. We saw the Antichrist coming up from the bottomless pit, conquering the entire world and running his course of 3.5 years, during which time he reaches the height of blasphemy. And then we saw him cast into the lake of fire. We saw Satan in his many windings and subtle deceptions in heaven and on earth. We saw him cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and then loosed for a little season. We saw his final doom when he with all of his demon spirit were cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet already were. Then we beheld the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, ruling and reigning with his saints for 1,000 years. We stood and beheld the heavens and the earth flee away and the wicked dead raised, judged, and consigned to their eternal state in the lake of fire with the devils and his angels. Then we beheld the new heavens and the new earth, replacing the old heavens and the old earth, after which we saw Jerusalem come down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, the capital city of the new earth, the home of the glorified saints. We saw the new nations placed in their respective spheres upon the new earth, and the throne of God take its place in that new city. Paradise has been regained with the tree of life and the water of life, blessing the new city and the whole earth. This gives us a picture of redemption complete and entering of everything into its eternal state. We come now to the conclusion of this great book with its closing remarks. The first thing we call your attention to is a statement in the 6th verse of chapter 22. These sayings are faithful and true. Here is set forth the absolute truth and certainty of this book. Christ knew that down through the ages, men would belittle, make fun, ridicule, and even reject the teaching of this book. It is said of Christ by his enemies, "Never a man spake like this man." So here, with regards to all the contents of the book of Revelation, the angel said to John, "These words are faithful and true." This statement is repeated again in Revelation 19:9. These are the true sayings of God. It is repeated again, Revelation 21:5. Right, for these words are true and faithful. So the Lord God of heaven affirms and reaffirms the highest authority for all that is written in this book. To make it even stronger, in Revelation 22:16, the Lord speaks up and says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Again, he states it with emphasis in Revelation 22:6, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the thing which must shortly come. Therefore, the book of Revelation is the word of God. Oh, how many do I know who are afraid, deathly afraid of the book of Revelation. They never open their Bible in one place in the Revelation because they said it's not to be understood. It is to be understood, my friend. It's to be preached. It's to be believed. It's to be believed. You don't believe God's word, my friend? You can't just believe part of it. You must believe every jot and tittle. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. The book opens and closes with the affirmation stated and restated that these words or sayings are true and faithful. They come directly from God the Father to Christ the Son and John to the servant of Christ. Oh, I want to call your attention to the second remark there in the seventh verse. Behold, I come quickly. My friend, does that bless your heart? Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. The book of Revelation opened in Revelation 1:3 with these words. Blessed is he that readeth this book, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Then, in the second and third chapters of the book, seven times there are repeated these words, he that hath an ear. Now, my friend, the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Don't you have an ear? Surely you do. You have two. Let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We see that the book of Revelation is to be read, is to be kept, is to be heard. I want to stop right here and say, my friend, he that hath an ear, you won't have an excuse. We often speak to you about the great white throne judgment. People foo-foo that. I've had folks tell me, oh, God's too good to send anybody to hell. My friend, go back and read God's word. Go there and look at the flood. Let me just tell you, just a moment. Take a moment and tell you how that the flood, the old great old man of God, Noah, the Lord commanded him, instructed him to build an ark. For why? What was his purpose? To save those who would come to Christ, those who would come to the Lord. Noah labored and preached for 120 years. 120 years, my friend. His three sons and their wives and Noah's own wife. They builded the ark. Now, you can foo-foo that if you want to, just like you foo-foo Jonah and the whale or Jonah and the fish. But Noah builded an ark. Over 120 years, he began to preach, labor, build. The Lord gave him instruction. The Lord gave him things to do it with. And I tell you this little story, maybe it might be imagination, might be whatever, but I've told it two or three times that during those latter days there, family lived down the road there, down the trail from where they were building the ark. This is something unheard of, my friend. Man building a boat right out in the middle of the dry ground. Never had rain. Never wasn't no water standing on the ground. Nothing. This family lived down there, and this little old tow-headed boy kept going down there and hanging around like I used to do when I was a kid, hang around where men were working. But this boy stood around, and he heard Mr. Noah speaking to his sons and anyone else that would listen, telling them about how the Lord was going to destroy this earth because of all the infidelity, all of the sadism that was going on, all of the sin that was taking place. And the little old boy kept hearing all those things. Boat was coming on, getting close to being finished. So he would tell his daddy, say, you know, Daddy, Mr. Noah down there, building that boat, building that thing he's building, he keeps saying that the Lord God of heaven is going to destroy this world by water, going to be a flood, going to drown there. He said, oh, boy, can't pay no attention to that old fool. Said he's all age long. How old is he? Done gone senile. And them boys of his, they just doing what he tells them to do. They ain't got no sense. Just stay away from down there, boy. But he wouldn't. He wouldn't stay away. He kept going back. Week after week, time after time, time went on. Finally, the boat was finished. Listen now. Listen. And the Lord shut the door. The Lord shut the door. All the animals were in. All the preparations were made. And the Lord shut the door. I don't know how long it sat there before it began to rain, but one day it began to rain. Water began to fall from the sky. And this old man and his wife and family sitting around, and it began to rain. And the little boy said, "Daddy, look, it's raining. Water's coming down." "Well, that's all right, son." He said, after a while, the water got up to the porch, and they all went inside and got up in the living room, and they had to go upstairs. And finally had to go on top of the house. The son said, "Daddy, I told you that water was coming. I told you Mr. Noah said the water was coming. Why didn't you believe him? That door shut down there now. We can't go in. He invited me to come in. He invited you to come in. He invited all those who were helping him on the boat to come in, but they wouldn't come in. The animals came in, but nobody else did. And the Lord shut the door. The Lord shut the door." And we know the story. They all perished. We don't know how many was there, but I understand it was millions and millions and millions of people drowned in that storm because they would not believe. Now I tell you, we stand here as old Noah did, crying, "Lord, send them in. Bring them in. Call them in, Lord." We're giving out the gospel. We're holding the door of the ark open. We're holding not the church. No, you don't come to church. Church has nothing to do with you being saved. No, sir. All that is now is follow the money. These big reaping, heaping, hoping preachers, follow the money. But the Lord's calling one here and one there. Has he called you, my friend? Has he stirred your heart at all? Have you ever heard the truth that you're a sinner needing to be saved? If so, my friend, fall on your face wherever you are. Climb out of that truck, old trucker. Get down there on the shoulder of the road somewhere under the shade of a tree and give out. Lord, save me right here on this highway. Lord, save me. I'm a wretched old fool. I'm a wretched old sinner, Lord. Don't leave me, Lord. Don't let the door shut on the ark, Lord. Oh, this old truck means nothing to me. This old world means nothing to us, folk. This all going to be burned up. We saw that already in the book. We saw how that was burned up in new heavens and the new earth now. But listen, I know folks are not interested in their soul primarily, but if the Lord's dealing with you just a little bit, just barely tingling around your heart, turn to him. Cry to him. He says he'll hear your cry. He did. He does. He says, "Come now, let us reason together." You know what that means? It means, come on, sit down. Sit down here and let me tell you how sinful you are. And then you take the blame. You take the blame. And he says, "I provided. I provided," like Abraham told Isaac. "The Lord hath provided." Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide a sacrifice for your sin, my friend, just like he did for the old trailblazer and everyone who's ever come to him, confessing his sin, repenting of those sins, and turning to the Lord. I wish I could sit down by your side to drink a cup of coffee and tell you how much the Lord means to me. Over these years, my friend, I've had many a battle, many a heartache, but there's never been a time when I couldn't go to the Lord. In just a minute, just a second, "Lord, help. Lord, help." Like old Peter when he started to go down. "Lord, help." And he's always been right there. He said, "I'll never leave you, Pastor. I'll never forsake you, old trailblazer." I wish you'd write me and let me know if you know the Lord. Would you do that? Remember my mailing address, the old trailblazer, post office box, 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Then my email address, pastor@radiomissions.org. And my website is radiomission.org. Goodbye and God bless you.